Aren't you glad you got a God that is the God of all your days? Amen. Hallelujah. Glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. I miss those who are not here, but I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad that you brought the Lord with you and I brung him with me. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I had something else on my heart and I prayed and studied. And I was walking in the church late yesterday evening. And here around these altars and the Lord spoke this word in my heart. He said, you need to come against a separating spirit. A separating spirit. He said, there is a dividing demon that has plans. And so I stand before you very cautiously and nervously because I want to do what the Lord would have me to do, but I'm very cautious. I want to make sure that I say what God would have me to say. And you intercessors, you pray that we'll speak as the Spirit of God gives unction. And that every word will be directed by the Spirit of God and it'll have the anointing of God upon it. Because you and I, we need to know that God wants to bring us and our family, our communities. He wants to bring unity. He wants to bring togetherness. But the devil has an agenda to divide families, to divide the family of God, to divide communities over different issues. And I've never seen a time in my life where this nation has not been more divided. And there is a principality at work to bring darkness and deception. And so you and I need to be in the place and the position where we hear the Word of God ahead of time and we adhere to it, amen, and do what God would have us to do. So for a text, and then maybe we'll go deeper into this text later, but I'm just using this for a text this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. If you're there, say amen. The Word of God says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Everything starts with speech. The Bible starts with God talking. That you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions, no schisms among you. That you be perfectly or completely joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment of the same opinion. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, Chloe meaning green, which are that there are contentions among you. Verse number 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Let's stop right there. Is Christ divided? Think about that. Brother Whitney, would you pray? Yes. Yes.
With the Holy Ghost, Father. Father, as he speaks, we can hear.
Yes, Lord.
We can hear what he has to say. We thank you for it.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Whitney. Glory. You know, we all love to hear the gospel. We love to hear the good news. We love to hear the words that bring faith that causes you and I to be able to reach and bring the good things of God into our life. But we've got to hear a full, rounded message to be able to grow and to be able to be strong in the times of trouble. And very few times in my life have I been given an admonition, a warning to be steadfast and to be strong and to be prepared for what the enemy has to do. The first time it ever happened was about 10 years ago. Larry and Shirley were there. The Spirit of God gave me a message. It was called Storm Clouds. And almost a year to the day after that message was preached, things happened, and about a third of the people got sifted out of the church. And God, He gives us His Word ahead of time to help us to be able to get into a place where we know that we need each other. And so I'm just going to give these scriptures to you the way the Spirit of God put them in my heart. And then you feed on them and you allow them to be strength to you. Now, first of all, why does the enemy want to divide us from each other? Why does he want to divide us from our family? Why does he want to divide communities? Because God is a God that brings people together. And he's a God that speaks to you, speaks to me, yes, individually by his Spirit and our spirit, but he feeds us through one another. Because he's the head and we're the many-membered body. So let's just document some things that you know, but let's keep them fresh in our mind. Go with me to the book Ephesians chapter 4. And let's document that very fact, and then we're going to get into the gist of what is in my heart. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul goes into great detail talking about how we are this one body. If you notice, we won't take time to read all of this, but he says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. One body. There's only one, and Christ is the head of it. Amen? And that body is the body of Christ, is the church of God. But he talks about how we God has placed us together, and he wants us to work together, to grow together. And notice what he says there in verse number 16, talking about his body. Ephesians 4:16, he says, "This body, or from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." In other words, you could take those words and we could say today that just as in your body there are so many members, but every part of your body is fed from each other. I know some of you won't care about this, but this is what came to me when I was thinking about a perfect example. When I was a young man, I loved football. And anybody remember Bo Jackson back in the day? Bo knows. Well, I'm just going to give this to you. I don't usually. But anyway, this is how the Spirit of God spoke this to me. You know, Bo Jackson, he was playing for the Oakland Raiders at the time, and he was in a playoff game with the Cincinnati Bengals. And he is like he normally always did. He was out running everyone. But that particular day, there was one Bengal that caught him from behind. You remember that? Caught him from behind. And when he pulled him down, there was such force that it popped his hip out of joint. And when it popped his hip out of joint, it severed the blood supply to that joint. And when it severed the blood supply to that joint, when he fell back down, it popped back into place, and the trainers, they didn't catch it. And his hip joint died. And that ended his career. There was no more Bo Knows as we knew. But the point of it is, his whole body was supplying that joint. I need you. Yeah. You need me. We need each other. Yeah. Your family needs you. And so the devil is going to do everything he can to bring separation in your life because you're feeding people that you don't even know about, in ways that you don't even know how. And so we've got to make sure that we recognize this Spirit is at work. And this Spirit, we're going to look in from the Word of God, is a dividing spirit. But not only does the dividing spirit, how does this Spirit work? It's a twisting spirit. And you're going to see that all of a sudden there are going to be words that are going to be spoken. And when you hear those words, you're not going to hear what the person is saying. This Spirit takes those words and twists them. And you hear something completely different, or the person that you're speaking to, even though you're speaking the truth in love, they hear something completely different. and that spirit is trying to divide you from that person where you can't feed them. You can't be a blessing to them. You can't be an encouragement to them, or they can't be that to you. Amen? So, Psalms chapter 56. David had this same issue in his life. Psalms chapter 56, verse number 5. Look what David says. Psalms 56, verse number 5. Brother Corey, you got, or you, or sister, y'all, look that up in the Amplified for me. Psalms 56, verse number 5. The Word of God says, every day, this is the psalmist David talking. He says, every day they rest my words, and all their thoughts are evil against me, or pardon me, all their thoughts are against me for evil. In other words, every day they rest my words. Now, from the Hebrew, this says they twist my words. You got the Amplified?
Yeah, I got it. All day long they twist my words and trouble my affairs. All their thoughts are against me for evil and my hurt.
That's what David's saying. He says that no matter what I say, the words that I speak, they're being twisted. And so in homes today, in situations today, and this is a prophetic word for a warning for what's coming, be ready, because this spirit, this separating spirit, this dividing demon, which is more than just a spirit, it's a principality. It's a higher level of a work of the enemy. And what it does, it takes... You're having a normal communication, a conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden, anger rises up. All of a sudden resentment rises up. All of a sudden, there's something that separates you from that person because what they said was infiltrated by this spirit, and it just took those words and twisted, and it made put emphasis on something that wasn't even intended. And this is so real. This is, I want you to get a hold of this. There was a couple, a married couple. I'll use this for illustration. They got married, and their life wasn't complete because the Spirit of God was drawing them, and they start going to church, and they get saved, they get born again in the church, and you know, they've got a young child, and everything's going good. They love the church. They love the people. They feel a part of it, and everything. They're growing, and all of a sudden, something is said from the pulpit, and this spirit twists what's said, and the husband looked at his wife, and he said, "I don't like that." And all of a sudden, this is a true story, all of a sudden, this grows. And everything that they loved about the people, everything they loved about the pastor, everything they loved about the church, all of a sudden, their whole attitude about it changed in him. And she got him to come and talk to the pastor. And they wouldn't even pray with the pastor. He wouldn't, because the spirit was twisting everything. And so, eventually... they fell out of church. And after they fell out of church, it wasn't just a few months, about 8 months, and all of a sudden, she comes in crying, showing the pastor the divorce papers. It's real. It's real. You and I, we can be as close as we can be. You know how many people I've been so close with in the altar? And they looked at me in the eyes with tears, and they said, "I'll be with you from here to the end." Where are they at now? It's real. It happens. And so we've got to be ready for it. We've got to see that Jesus wants us to be in the place and the position to feed each other and to help each other and to be strong. Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. We should expect nothing no different because it happened in the beginning. And because it happened in the beginning, God said, "I'm going to declare Isaiah 46, 8, 9, and 10. I'm going to declare the end from the beginning." So we need to see that. But you know this, Genesis chapter 3, Verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman. Remember what we said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, I admonish you. I want you to speak the same thing. Everything starts with speech. The power of speech. Your speech creates things. And so if you speak under the anointing, you can create the things of God. But if you let the devil get on your words, then we create the things of the devil. Amen? And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, we get a word from God, and all of a sudden the devil, this spirit, gets on that word and starts twisting it. And starts making us think that God isn't in good, or that he's holding back something from us. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Her interpretation. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And all of a sudden it says, and the woman saw. See, words bring vision. We're either seeing the things of God or we're seeing the things of the devil. And so you and I have got to be in the place and the position where those words that bring vision, they bring a picture and they point your life in a certain direction. And it either points it toward the good things of God, the blessings of God, the plan of God, the will of God, or it points it towards the plan of the enemy that is out to destroy you and I. Amen? And so we've got to be in the place where we understand what is happening, what's going on. So when you hear a word, you don't take immediately what you think or feel about that word. You just steel yourself. And you say, Lord, what is going on here? Because your flesh will lie to you. And the devil can manipulate your flesh. He cannot manipulate your spirit. And so we've got to find that place of truth. Amen? All right. So go with me to Isaiah chapter 27. Let's look at this spirit just a little bit, this principality. Isaiah chapter 27, verse number 1. It says, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword, which is the word of God, right? Amen. Shall punish Leviathan. Now mark that down in your Bible where you'll have it. Shall punish Leviathan. Now notice how he describes him. The piercing serpent. That's what he was in the garden. The most subtle beast, the most cunning beast of the field. But the piercing serpent, what does that mean? It means that he can get inside of you with his lies. He can get inside of me with his lies. He can put poison in us, and he'll cause words and situations and circumstances to what? To be poisonous, to be turned to bitterness. I've never seen a time in my whole life where we've got so many people who are bitter against each and everybody for no other reason. Hey, it's all right. We're different. We can have different opinions. That doesn't mean that we can't love one another. But see, the devil right now, he is brewing hatred. And he's trying to cause people who have a different ideology and different understanding to feel separated and to feel like they have no value. And he wants you and I to be in the place where we condemn people. Because they've got a certain lifestyle. Jesus wants to save us from our ideology. He wants to change our thoughts and understand. He wants to make us a new creature, a new creation. And we're not going to do that if we're spewing hate. We've got to spew the truth of the Word of God with power, amen, with love. And we get on tangents about one sin is worse than another. We've got to get in the place where Jesus is the one who forgives sin. We don't condone sin, but God's grace will take care of sin. Amen? So here this Leviathan spirit is a piercing serpent. Now notice what he says. Even the Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So let's understand this. This Leviathan, it's a wreathed animal. it's the animal that's very thick skin. In other words, you can talk bad about the devil, but you're not going to hurt him. He don't care. He don't care what you think. He's got one agenda. That one agenda is he wants to take you and I to hell. He wants to hurt God because his ultimate goal is he thinks when it comes down to it, remember what the book of Revelation says? After that 1,000-year reign, they're going to, as the sand of the sea, they're going to turn away from God when the tempter is loose for a season, and they're going to follow after him. He doesn't think God will do it. But God will do what he said he will do. He can't lie. But this word here, it's also translated crocodile. So I want you to see how this works from the natural, because that's what Jesus done. He taught us from the natural to understand the thing, what was happening in the spiritual. So a crocodile is a water animal. Now, we know from all through the scripture that water is Revelation 17:15 talks about it's the type of the people. But it's also a move of the Spirit. So anywhere where there's a move of the Spirit, there's going to be a Leviathan working. And because why? Because he doesn't want you and I to get into the things of the Spirit. He wants to create fear. He wants to create doubt. He wants to stop what God wants to do by the Holy Ghost. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? And so here this crocodile, you've all seen it if you watched any television or whatever. You know how they are. They're their eyes. They're in the water. They're very subtle. All they're working is underneath. And so you need to know that the devil is working underneath to try to bring division, to try to bring separation, to try to bring harm. And what the enemy, what this crocodile does, it loves to come and it grabs by an appendage. If you haven't watched it, you ought to watch it sometime on National Geographic or the YouTube or whatever. There's some very graphic videos. It makes you sick to your stomach, but it makes us understand how serious of what the enemy does. And he pulls off the weakest appendage. I'm talking about we're a many-membered body. He comes after the weak to separate them from the whole body. But then he comes in and he grabs and he takes under and he takes in a death roll. Because he tries to get us to lose orientation because he don't want us to look up. He doesn't want us to be able to see Jesus. He wants you and I to be disoriented. He wants us to lose the light. But we've got to recognize that we've got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We've got to keep our heart in a place where we can hear from God. Now, a crocodile is 41% teeth. So that means this is a mouth deal. So this is going to be words if we're talking about in the spirit. So he's going to attack by words. He's going to attack and he's going to try to devour you. Remember David said, their teeth gnash on me daily. That's what he was talking about. Their words. Their words. And so the only way you and I can offset what the enemy's saying is to say what thus saith the Lord. So we got to be in the place and the position where we know that we're hearing what God says and we say it with boldness. Amen. We say it with an assurity that it is seed and it is a creative force in our life that has been given to us. But also, we've got to recognize that where the enemy does the most damage, would you put Revelation 12:4 on there, Brother Ryan? Where the enemy does the most damage, in Revelation 12:4, as a dragon, what did the devil do? With his tail, he drew away a third of the angels with his tail. So in other words, when you think that the enemy's turned and he's leaving, that's when you're most vulnerable. That's when he can do the most damage, because when he's biting, he's just biting that one area. But with his tail, he takes and brings deception that sweeps out a whole group of people. This isn't just about you. This is about your whole family. This isn't just about me. This is about my whole family. Listen, God's fixing to save some people. He's fixing to bring deliverance in some of your family that you've been praying for, you've been believing for. Don't let God move you. Don't let the devil move you. Let God be your stability. Let the Lord be your rock that you're founded upon. Don't let this tail swoop and mess up what God's been sitting in. He has set this in the plan, as Sister Sharon was talking about just a moment ago when we were talking, from the foundation of the world. Don't let anything move you from that. Amen? Now, he said this Leviathan spirit is a piercing serpent, and it is a crooked serpent. So, as he's talking about this spirit, this principality, he's letting us know that it comes in different flavors. See, some things you and I, we have no trouble recognizing the devil in. That's the devil, I know it. And I'm not going to yield to it. I'm going to pray about it. But other areas we might miss. Let's go to Psalm 73, I believe it is. Psalm 74. It says in verse number 12, "For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." Now notice this, verse number 13, Psalm 74, 13. "Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in waters." Notice how all that is plural. Michelle, the psalmist here, meaning instructive. This is an instructive psalm. This is a didactic poem. It's one that you build upon, in other words, in your life. Your life gets built stronger and stronger and stronger when you hear the instruction. And the instruction is that God is your salvation from the very beginning of time. But God wants you to know that He has the ability to destroy the heads of the dragons in the waters. Everything that's plural that the enemy's trying to do in your life. Now notice verse 14. "Thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces." So you've got to see that Jesus Christ, when He said it is finished, He destroyed the devil. But you've got to be in the place and the position, I've got to be in the place and the position where we recognize when the devil starts working, where we won't come underneath his power. Because his power is deception. His power is lies. And if I will... You realize that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said that there was some that loved a lie. And so because they loved a lie, God sent, He allowed strong delusion to be brought among them and upon them to the point where they bowed down to the son of perdition. That's prophecy. That's going to happen. He's going to sit in the temple of God showing Himself as God. Amen? So it's a very powerful thing. So, here, you've got to see who you are in God and what God has done. But you've got to recognize okay, hold your place here and go to Job 41. You realize that God had to put a whole chapter. He had to put a whole chapter in His Word to warn us about this Leviathan. That's how important it is. That's what Job 41 is all about. The book of Job is about a man who loved God, but he had a fear in his life. And that fear in his life caused him to lose everything, but the goodness of God caused everything to be restored. But that fear come because he had a pride. He had pride because, remember, he thought that he could take care of his family if he'd done this, this, and this. He was in a work mentality. You and I were in a grace dispensation. Amen. A grace that will move us to works, but we're not saved by works. Verse 1, Job 41:1. "Canst thou," this is God talking to Job. He said, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook?" We can't do anything against this principality. Now, we have the ability to cast out devils because Jesus said we did. But this is beyond the devil. This is a principality. This is a high-ranking spiritual enemy that is over territories. Amen? And so here this working is, and he says to Job, can you draw out the Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Now, and we could go on, and you need to study this, and you need to see about the working of the Leviathan and how he works in people's lives and his power and his strength. But we don't have time this morning. That's something you'll have to seek the Lord on. Look at the last verse, verse 34 of this book. This Leviathan, he beholdeth all high things. So what is this Leviathan spirit, this dividing demon, this spirit of separation? How's he going to work? He's going to work in any area where you and I are not submitted to God. Any area where we say, God, I got this. I'll take care of it. Any area where we think we've got it figured out or we can handle the situation, he is going to move right in. Look, he beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. So the only way that you and I can defeat this enemy is we got to do like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 down about verse 21, where he talked about this type of spirit only comes out by prayer and fasting. But we've got to pray and fast, but we've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. James said that in James 4. Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 5. We've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. In other words, Lord, I'm not going to go by how I feel in any situation. I've looked across the desk from people, and with tears in my eyes, in my spirit, I've said to them, I said, but this is what God says. And they look back and says, but this is how I feel. Now, feelings are one thing, and feelings are not to be discounted, because God is a God that has feelings, and he gave us feelings. But when feelings are contrary to the Word of God, we've got to choose to believe God. We've got to choose to humble ourselves and say, God, this is how I feel, but what is the truth? Help me. Help me. Lord, I want to humble myself, and I want to come out from underneath this twisting that is in my life. In the spirit, I see it. I see it happening in homes right now, and it's breaking my heart. I see confusion. And where the Bible says where there's confusion, there's demonic activity. James tells us that. And where there's demonic activity, the Bible says that there's ever evil work. And God wants to change that this morning. He wants us to say, Lord, I'm going to come to you. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's close with this where we can see these heads. You know, it talks about the heads. If we'd kept reading in Revelation 12, we don't have time. But here's the things that God hates. You know the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. This is the heads of this Leviathan that is working to bring harm into God's people. These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. In other words, when you mix the six with discord, that's what happens. Verse number 17, a proud look. Remember, the Leviathan is the king over everyone who is prideful. I've got to look into heaven, and I've got to tell the Lord every day, Lord, I know it's by your grace, or there go I. Help me. Now, y'all may not have these issues, but I do. I'm weak, but I've got to have the Lord to help me, and I know that I'm not going to make it, and I struggle in my mind with the enemy. But God's greater. Amen? And He wants to help. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. That's the first three. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and run into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Now notice this. All of this adds up to what brings the abomination unto God. And he or she that soweth discord among the brethren. The devil wants disunity. But God wants you to be unified. He wants you to be unified in every area. And just because I do things different from you don't mean that we can be unified. We can be. Just because you have a different opinion. You like blue. I like gray. Whatever. Who cares? Jesus is the one that brings us together. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. By Jesus Christ, if you and I humble ourselves, He'll bring us into perfect truth. Because we'll be in the presence of the Father. And in the presence of the Father through the blood of Jesus, it's where there is a ruling atmosphere of heaven. That's what God wants in your life. That's what He wants in your family. That's what He wants in this community. And the only way that'll happen is if you and I will say, I recognize that there's something greater at work here. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your children. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your boss. Blame the devil. If that's what it's all about. God has put people in your life to nourish you. He has put you in their life to nourish them. And I want you to make that confession every day. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you said that I was to be nourished. So here I am. I'm humble enough to receive. But I'm also humble enough to give. And if you and I will do that, it'll change everything. Jesus said, take heed, lest any man deceive you. Over and over in Scripture in the New Testament, it says, take heed, lest you fall. Take heed, take heed. In other words, be cautious. Because when you think you're standing, when I think I'm standing, that's when the devil comes in with that tail. And he does that swing, and he can take our feet right out from under us. How many remember John Wesley? You ever read any of his great preacher, great books of the 17th century. Anyway, he had a dream one night. He dreamed that he was standing before the gate of hell. He can hear the cries of the torment. He can feel the flames coming through that gate. And he's standing there before that gate in this dream. And he hollers. He says, are there any Pentecostals in there? Yes. Are there any Baptists in there? Yes. Are there any Methodists in there? Yes. Are there any Presbyterians in there? Yes. In a moment, he's moved from the gates of hell and he's standing at one of the gates of heaven. And he hollers and he asks the same questions. And every time he asked the same question, the word came back, no, no, no. And he said, who's in there then? And somebody yelled back, we're all Christians. What did Paul say? He said, is Christ divided? Don't say you're of Paul. Don't say you're of Apollos. You're saved this morning by Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. Amen? And so you're going to heaven on the merit of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And you're going to rule and reign in this life because you're trusting in the grace of Jesus Christ and you're humble enough to let the Lord come in and to bring truth where the devil's working. The closer that we get to what God's fixing to do here, the bigger strain is happening in my life. I don't know about your life, but me and Donna, I've never seen a time that we've been under this much pressure. And the devil's doing everything in the world to separate. And he's showing all of these little things and manifesting those little things. And if we yield to those things, we'll be divided. But we look at each other through the eyes of the Spirit and we say, Lord, what you've put together, let no man divide. And I encourage you this morning, know where you're at, know what God has put together in your life, and don't let anybody divide it. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I thank you for having your people to be able to hear this morning, not my words, but your words, here by the Spirit of God. I thank you that the illuminating light that is penetrating in the darkness of any area that the devil might be working in our hearts, in our lives, through our family, through situations. Lord, let truth come. Let the enemy be helpless because we humble ourselves under your hand. We seek you. We yield to you, and you make a change in our life, Father. Let it be. Let it be. Now, you touch and draw right now. Give us the strength to take the first step and help us come to you. Thank you, Lord. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? There's more at stake than just a normal Sunday morning sermon. This is a critical situation. You yield to the Spirit of God. Your destiny, your future, the future of everything God wants to do in us and through us, requires us to be humble this morning. Would you come this morning, make yourself an altar, and choose to yield to the Lord in every area, and see the working of the enemy stopped. Let there be peace in your life. Let there be peace in your family like you've never experienced before. Would you come? There's destinies on the line. There's futures on the line. I dare say there's marriages on the line. There's relationships that the enemy wants to destroy. But this morning, they can be in a place of power and provision because you say yes. Would you come and let God shore up every area of your life?